The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to unload a few of the things that really grind my gears.
Gordon Wittenmeyer.
I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Now the most absurd thing of all is that somebody wants to try to shove this down our throats that this is somehow not a rebuild because we don't even know how rebuilds are defined. Well, you strip down the roster of most of its all-star players and you're rebuilding.
Perpetually annoyed.
A lot of other things grind my gears too, like the DH, unbalanced schedules, tanking, one-game playoff series.
Gordon Wittenmeyer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Now get off my lawn.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. How about that one, Gordon? That's got to take you back.
Blast from the past.
There you go. What a lot of fun.
I can't believe you guys still have that.
We didn't even update it. Gordon Wittenmeyer joins us now.
It still applies.
On the Aturo Tire Hotline, Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. So I'm just out of curiosity, let's start with Terry Francona. How have you ruined his year?
How much does he cringe when you walk into the office?
Well, I'm working on it. I mean, it took me about a year and 3 months with the first manager I covered there. I'm working on this one. He's great. I don't know how much you've dealt with him over the years, but he's terrific to deal with. I piss him off sometimes, with the question here and there, because he doesn't like answering some questions publicly, you know. And so that's fine. But we get along well. He's just a great person.
He is. I can remember during the pandemic, Mully, yes. We were doing our show, and we were struggling for guests and people coming on. He came on, and spent
Tito,
a half an hour
there for us. We just talked to him. Just such a nice person, good man.
Oh, yeah. He allowed me to go to his home before the season started to do a big feature on him, and he was just great. We went off the record and just talk about baseball and people we knew in common in the game, as you can guess who some of those might be, and we just had a great conversation.
So how good are the Reds, Gordon? Because they're one game under .500. The expectations are Terry Francona comes and gets the most out of that young talent. We all have heard about the young talent in Cincinnati for a while now. How good is this team?
Yeah, I think Francona is kind of realizing just what he got into right now. Look, they got good players. Eli De La Cruz is one of the most exciting talents in the game, and he's still getting better. They're doing a couple things with him at the plate, so you're not seeing quite the power as you saw, but you're not seeing quite the strikeouts as you saw either the last couple of years. So he's still growing. They don't have any of these great young players as maybe they would have advertised a couple of years ago. And they don't have great gloves across the board. They have some pretty good ones. They do have pitching. And they have starting pitching in particular. That's where their talent and their strength is. That's where they'll win this thing if they win this thing. That said, they got to beat the Cubs because the Cubs are hitting better than anybody in baseball. The Cubs have played all the great teams in the National League, and here they are with 30 wins. I think one of four teams are with 30 wins and in first place. And they banked the toughest part of their schedule. So even though they don't have Steele and even though Imanaga's out right now, they've gotten the job done to this point, and it's theirs to lose. The Reds are not a team built to catch up. They can pitch. Again, they can pitch. But we just saw that. They allowed five runs games to the Pirates in the last series and lost the series.
Wow.
That's the kind of team they've got. They've lost 4-1-0 games this year. That's the kind of team they've got. You know, I just heard, you know, the update on the tush push. Every time they score a run, it looks like a tush push.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's the problem.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of the numbers. De La Cruz, McClain, Steer, they're all kind of under what you would expect them to do. It doesn't look like anybody's really, out hitting anyone else. And according to Tankathon, you're right. I was just looking at this a minute ago. The Cubs have the easiest schedule remaining for the rest of the season. I mean, they really have played a lot of tough games.
Yeah, no doubt. And the key for the Reds, if they're going to be the team that challenges the Cubs, is that Matt McClain has to come around. For his first 3 months in the big leagues 2 years ago, he was their best player. He was their best hitter and their best fielder. He's probably their best shortstop, even though they got Ellie De La Cruz playing over there. So that said, he's been one of their worst hitters this year, and he got dropped to the nine hole. He was expected, coming off of an injury last year, to be an addition to the lineup this year, and he hasn't been. If he can be that, say, over the second half of the season, they could get a lot better pretty fast.
So, Gordon, your old buddy Jed Hoyer, obviously entering the final year of his contract and has responded in a way that I think Cub fans should be encouraged by. You look at Kyle Tucker, he's having a very good start. You look at some of the player development issues that were questions at the beginning of the season, getting some answers quickly from PCA, and Matt Shaw is now back and starting to play better. You look at Miguel Amaya, you know who they are. Just wonder what your perception is of the Cubs and that sense of urgency that I think they brought into this season, Jed's contract year.
Well, I think Jed certainly brought urgency into the season with the resources he was given. I mean, look, how many times we talked about this? Those guys cut payroll. How can you come off of last year and be in this position, cut payroll? But they did. Okay, so they did. And Hoyer's front office has done probably as well as you could have with that. I would have gone out and tried to get more pitching, particularly in the bullpen. But getting Kyle Tucker, he's the best player in the division right now. He looked like he was going to be the best player in the division when they acquired him, and all he's done is deliver. So it's been huge, obviously, for that lineup. It might be the reason they win the division and get to the playoffs at the end of the day. But when you talk about player development, I tell you what, we just talked about young players for the Reds, and they got so much attention for that with Ellie De La Cruz at the top of the list. PCA is as good of a young player kind of in that class as in those two teams combined. So what he's doing is, it's just way more than would be fair to expect, obviously. I've heard people talk about, well, is he in the early MVP conversation? Well, why not? I mean, he's certainly in an all-star conversation, and you go from there, and he's playing for the best team in his division. So if he keeps this up, you talk about player development. And they get him for Javi Baez, who, by the way, is having a good year this year too, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But the big thing to me is what they've done so far with Cade Horton. Can he keep that up? This sort of progression that he's made, and then what's his workload going to look like over the course of the year? Because if he can do more or less what he's done so far and just be part of that rotation, that could be a key to holding the whole thing together because of what happened to Steele and now Imanaga went well into June, supposedly.
Do the Reds, every time I turn around, they're like one of the few teams that still have an interest in Luis Robert Jr.? Has that waned? Is there any chance that they would still be interested?
The laughter says a lot.
I know you're trying to get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
Looking and all for the a reasons buyer. You're trying to get rid of that guy are the reasons nobody wants it.
Exactly.
There was interest. There was real interest. How serious, it's hard to say because the money was so big. Initially, the money was the big thing. And then I think they got some of the money sorted out in talks over the winter, but then maybe they wanted too much in player capital. Now you're at a point where the guy just doesn't have the value for what his contract is. And right now, as we sit here and talking about the Cincinnati Reds, I think the interest would be close to zero, if not less than zero.
Wow. So that is unlikely to change because we have a long time before the trade deadline. Can you envision that changing? Would Robert have to get on an extended hot streak, or is this just a financial bridge too far to cross?
Well, if they want him to take the whole freight on the money, it's probably a financial bridge too much to cross. So if I'm the Cincinnati Reds, and I've said this, I think ownership, and I go to the small market team and I'm ripping ownership there too, because they stripped down their roster to a point where, you know, with their revenue sharing and even with their smaller local revenues, they're so far below everybody else that they were in position with this group and the pitchers that they had to go out and maybe get one significant bat, and they didn't even try. They barely kept the payroll what it was last year. And to me, that's kind of egregious. You got to get Terry Francona. You're signaling to the world that you're trying to win.
Right.
You're trying to win. You got Hunter Green at the front of that rotation who just turned a corner and became an all-star last year, and some guys around him in that rotation. You're ready to win. Go get a bat. Go get a bat with a glove. I said they should have got Bregman. I said once he became a one-year proposition, go get him. Who cares if you spend $40 million for a year or 40 per year for two? Who cares? You're sitting at 110 at that point. So go do it. Now you fill the position you need. You got a gold glove. You got a bat in a ballpark that's a hitter's ballpark. I mean, he would have put up the numbers and walked anyway. So it would have worked for him. They didn't do it. I think if they're going to spend the money going forward, go get the hometown boy, Kyle Schwarber.
Wow.
Yeah. He'll be available next year,
right? He'll be expensive next year.
The Cubs have Matthew Boyd, Colin Ray on Saturday, and then Ben Brown on Sunday. This is a big series for Cincinnati, just because if you don't get something done here, it's 5.5 now. You could kind of put it out of reach in a way, as crazy as that sounds in May.
No question. And the Reds buried themselves in May last year. They had a miserable May, and that was the end of it. If they get swept in this series, yeah, I mean, again, they're not built to chase at this point. They're to play catch up. And I think that's why you're seeing they got their three best pitchers going in this series. Hunter Green's coming off the IL just in time to open the series Friday. This is a huge series for the Reds. They have to at least make noise. They have to at least win the series. For the Cubs, it's a curiosity. Well, what do the Reds have? How good is their pitching? I guess we'll go find out. And if the Cubs get swept, we learned something. We'll go on from here. As far as the Reds are concerned, they need this series. This is as big as it gets for a team like that in May.
Who's your comp for Hunter Green, and how much fun is he to cover?
Oh my God, he's a easy 100-mile-an-hour guy with a slider, and if he only throws those two pitches and he has them working, he can do what he did to the Cubs a couple of years ago and throw six no-hit innings. He's got that kind of stuff, and he like I said, he learned at the big leagues. He's still only 24 years old, I think, 24, 25, and he turned a corner last year. He compares to the best pitchers in the game right now. I mean, really, before he had this groin injury, he had three scoreless in Atlanta. Went to warm up in the fourth and walked off the mound because it was a mild groin strain, but he felt the strain in there. So until then, you were looking at a guy that was coming off the All-Star season, starting this season the way he was, maybe thinking if he keeps this up for 30 starts, he could be in the Cy Young conversation. That's the kind of pitcher he is. Is he the best in the game? He's got a chance to be. It's just a matter of how many times he answers the bell and whether he can keep this up.
I'm curious, Gordon. I don't know how many of these teams you've seen, but what does the division look like to you?
It looks like a team that can just hit the snot out of the ball and everybody else muddling around with rosters that have potentially fatal flaws. The Brewers, I thought, would be better because they always find a way to patch together enough pitching. But I think they finally hit a point of diminishing returns to a degree. I don't know that they can get that done. I don't think they're going to go completely away. The Pirates aren't even trying. I mean, you got Paul Skenes, and before you knew he was hurt, Jared Jones. What are you doing over there? I don't know. The Reds, they're trying. They went out and got who I think is the best manager in baseball, and they've got some talent. They certainly have some pitching, but they can't hit. They don't have elite gloves. And the Cardinals, hell, the Cardinals weren't even trying coming in. They admitted it out loud. You know, we're going to get rid of this guy. We're going to get rid of that guy. We're not going to backfill. We're going to go young, and here they are in second place. I don't think that can sustain. So, I mean, if the Cubs don't win this division, it's their own damn fault.
Did you see those rumors about or the conversation surrounding the Pirates and why they should consider trading Paul Skenes now at the height of his value?
So stupid.
That would be
the dumbest ass thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. He's got 4.5 years of club control. If you're not keeping one of the best young arms in the game with 4.5 years of club control, then you need to fold the franchise. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. What are we doing here? If that's the conversation, that's like, okay, well then the Reds should go trade Ellie De La Cruz. He's got 4 years left too. Now that's absurd. What are you doing? That takes this whole notion of tanking to this level that, again, should be disqualifying for a professional team in any sport. And if you're there, really, sell the team, move the team, whatever it takes, and the commissioner needs to get directly involved in that. And if I wouldn't be surprised if there's been conversations with that organization. I heard that there was a report that the Pirates, according to union sources, I think the Pirates are one of the more profitable teams in baseball. I was told the same thing about the Reds, and that all has to do with revenue sharing and then not turning around and spending it. It's not about making more money than anybody else. It's about how much you put in your pocket. And if you're getting other teams to pay your freight and you're not putting players on the field, then you need to be disciplined. You need to be run out of the damn league. So it's the most absurd thing. If they even engage in talk, they ought to be disqualified. And I'll throw one more thing in there. And I've said this before. And I talked to Pete Rose about it, too, last year. He gets banned for baseball for life because he gambled on the game. The same rule that led to his permanent ineligibility, which we all know got lifted last week, includes a clause in there that says anybody employed by any ball club is basically has to try to win every game. And then I can't remember the exact phraseology of it, but that's essentially the rule. That means any GM or executive who tanks is subject to permanent ineligibility.
Wow. I like that.
You would have banned Theo in 2013.
Well,
brought Theo up to Pete Rose. I said, based on that, should Theo Epstein be banned for life if you are? He said, well, if that's the rule.
Did the White Sox come up in that conversation in any way?
I don't know if sheer ineptitude is necessarily disqualifying by rule.
Great stuff, Gordon.
Great stuff, Gordon.
Good catching up.
Thank you, buddy. Great chatting with you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Gordon Whitmire.
Still bringing it. Yeah.
He's the best. Still get off my lawn, Gordon.
Wants to ban the Pirates for trading.
If they did that, that would be
the dumbest ass thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That I can't argue with that. That was a story out there in the baseball.
Yeah, I know.
Stratosphere.
You're right.
And it's something that unfortunately is a sign of the economic times.
You shouldn't be allowed to do something like that. I understand. But he's right, 4 years of control. I mean, could you imagine if you had the misfortune of being a Pirates fan and that were to happen?
Commissioner would have to get involved. You couldn't do something like that.
Doubt.
Not somebody who is the best, you know, arguably the best pitcher, young pitcher in the National League, if not baseball.
312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hoff from The Score.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So that was like an open mic after Ben Johnson talked. He left and you heard someone, and we don't know exactly who, said, "I love this guy."
That sound like Biggs?
Robot Biggs said, "I love this guy."
Morning, boys. What's going on?
I love this guy. Might have been Brad.
No, Brad's, I don't think it was Brad.
Establishing a good rapport there.
Brad wouldn't say,
Grody?
Brad wouldn't just announce, "I love this guy."
Grody? Grody would have been loud about it, right?
He would say, "I love you." I love you.
Grody might have said, "I love this guy," then going, like, look, come in for the big hug.
"I love you too."
Bears.
Well, Ben Johnson is an easy guy to appreciate when you are going from a coach who did not communicate effectively in Matt Eberflus to one that seems to enjoy that role and gives you something to think about almost every time that he talks.
Right.
It's easy guy to appreciate.
It's an easy guy to love.
Easy to love. Let's face it.
Listen.
He's undefeated too.
I am. If loving him is wrong.
You don't want to be right.
No.
Who does?
No. No.
And until he coaches his first game.
Then we're going to love him.
Botches his first two-minute drill. Misuses his last time out. Whatever the case is. You know that the criticism will come. Being scrutinized is part of being an NFL head coach, especially in Chicago. But right now, the honeymoon continues. The honeymoon is on.
I mean, the honeymoon's on, no doubt about it. Right down to some reporter saying, "I love this guy." It's so funny.
There is some Bears news. So schedule-wise,
yes,
for people who were planning their summers around the preseason opener.
This is preseason information.
The Bears will play the preseason opener Sunday, August 10th at noon. On a Sunday?
Ooh.
Noon? Sunday, August 10th?
Hold on. Sunday at noon.
It is a Sunday.
Yeah, so that's a noon Sunday. They will also host joint practices with the Dolphins and the Bills at Halas Hall. And the Bills are the Bears' second preseason opponent.
Why would they have both the Dolphins and the Bills in at the same time? Shouldn't they do it when they're playing here? Shouldn't they separate that? Shouldn't they have the Bills one time and then the Dolphins another?
I'm guessing that's what it means.
But oh,
it's not written that way.
The way you said it made me think they were just going to have these massive.
I assumed that you'd be able to tell the difference.
I couldn't.
The
figure
Dolphins
that out.
Are.
We got 300 guys.
The visitors
on the field.
To Soldier Field on August 10th.
Okay, so that
the following weekend the Bears will stay in Chicago and play the Bills.
Okay.
On August 17th.
So it's the Dolphins
prime
and then the
time
Bears.
At 7 p.m. And then
out.
They wrap up the preseason on the road, if you must know,
yes.
against the Kansas City Chiefs on Friday, August 22nd. That kickoff is 7:20. So the three preseason games are there on the schedule, and now you know they're going to host in-person practices, joint practices, with the Bills and the Dolphins.
Well, separately.
And by then, maybe this... Okay. Yes, by then... Separately.
And wouldn't it be the Dolphins and then the Bills?
What was that noise Ben Johnson made earlier? I'm about to make it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes. That is the succession of order.
I'm being obnoxious.
If you're not, no.
Not
obnoxious
me.
Is would be better.
Yeah.
Annoying.
Okay. Sorry.
Apologies. Obnoxious would be like, you know.
I apologize, right. Especially on such a glorious day. I apologize.
I apologize. That's okay. No problem.
Unreservedly to you and your family. The fault was mine.
Big night tonight.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing going on.
Well, big no.
Oh, I mean,
all
there's
contraire.
No baseball. Tonight is the night. This is the first ever Chicago Sky broadcast right here on 670 The Score. They host the New York Liberty. Are the Liberty the reigning champions?
Yes, they are.
That is at Wintrust Arena. Coverage begins at 6:45 on the Score and on the Odyssey app.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be right here on the Score.
Yes.
And we have quite the show. It'll be the first time on the Score that the Sky will be, but also a first time all-female broadcast crew. Alyssa Bergamini will be the sideline reporter.
Yep.
Our own Layla Rahimi will be the color analyst, and Kylan Mills will be the play-by-play broadcaster.
Yeah.
And she's a Chicago native who has worked for the Big Ten Network and the Pac-12
A Duke. Network.
And a Duke. I don't know.
She went to Duke?
She's a Duke.
Oh, she went to York. Dukie.
She went to York.
Yeah.
Home of the Dukes.
Wow.
And that is the first of seven games. Two of them will feature Caitlin Clark and the Indianapolis Fever. So that's fun too, right? Get some of those games on.
June 7th is the next matchup. That's a big one.
Yeah.
They're all big.
That's
against
Indiana.
The Fever.
And they're not playing those two teams at the same time at the United Center, right?
Oh.
Thank you, Dustin.
I don't think the Fever needs any help.
No, they don't. They look pretty
good. Actually, I'm not sure the Liberty needs much help.
What if Indianapolis is the city that has the NBA and WNBA champion in the same year?
Well,
it's possible now as we speak.
Well, unless they move to Oklahoma.
Oh.
It's not going to be the right city.
Well,
don't you think Oklahoma City is going to win?
I think Oklahoma City looks pretty unbeatable right now.
They do.
I think that is an easy choice. But I also would not underestimate, based on what we saw last night, how could you underestimate the Pacers in anything? They were down 9 with a minute to go at the Garden.
It's unbelievable.
And they end up winning that game. I don't know how they won that game. And I picked Knicks in 7. I thought Knicks in 7. And it still could be Knicks in 7, but it's going to be tough. Might be tougher than I thought.
I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I'm not a huge Knicks guy. So it was kind of cool to see the way that thing ended. I really thought when they had misjudged whether it was 3 or not, and then they checked and they said, no, you're going to overtime. I thought that was enough new life that the Knicks could rally and win in overtime.
I did too. I also didn't anticipate Jalen Brunson to have as much trouble handling the basketball down the stretch with key possessions as he did. But their defense was pretty suffocating, and he there are a couple possessions there that they would want back.
Yeah, but I feel like he did his share to win the game, and then they didn't close it.
He did.
And
put them in position.
I mean, that's a lot of minutes that were on him.
Were you the minutes police?
No.
Bring your badge?
But someone ought to be.
Why?
Because he looked
wrecked.
It's
the playoffs.
He looked pretty wrecked in overtime. That's what I'm saying. If they don't go to overtime, you come out of that game and he's the big hero. But because you get the crazy comeback in the final minute, and really, I get it. It was Halliburton who hit the shot and did the choke and did the point. But it was Nesmith who was hitting all those threes that kept him in the game.
Yeah, he did keep him in the game. Halliburton was a difference, though, because he just refused to let that happen. And that shot that he hit, the big bounce, that's one of those ones that if you're a Knicks fan, you're gutted. Your guy Timothy Chalamet must have been really unhappy.
Was he
courtside?
Was he there?
Didn't you see him calling timeouts and signaling to the refs to review the play? He's like too involved. Way too much of a leading role for that man.
Is he working on a character?
He must.
That's why I kind of like the Knicks watching it. It's just the celebrity role and just seeing the fans react. Seeing, I think Mitch Robinson, every time he goes to the free throw line, they're cheering regardless if he misses or not. They try to encourage him. But it's just hilarious.
Didn't you notice Chalamet all over the place?
He's there. They're going to go to him all the time.
He's on
all
the court
stars.
All the time.
Will Chalamet travel? Will he go down to Indianapolis? Dustin, call Chalamet's people. We should get him on and talk to him about what happened, what went wrong, how he feels about Reggie Miller. Let's get it all.
Well, remember, too, he missed the Met Gala. He got invited to that, and he missed because he wanted to stay at home and watch the Knicks game at that time.
I can respect that. I do respect that. He's a big fan that way. He skipped the Met Gala. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you know what? You skipped the Met Gala. We got invited.
We were not invited to the Met Gala.
Maybe
the Met Gala.
Maybe I missed
Unless Flag and Anthem has a table. Then maybe. Can you imagine that if Flag and Anthem had a table at the Met Gala?
Well, let me ask you, who's going to the Met Gala anymore? There's nobody. Certainly no one we know.
Well, that's okay. We could still go.
Reese went.
Yeah, Simone Biles' husband, who plays for the Bears, went.
Jonathan Owens.
Jonathan Owens.
That guy.
Did you forget his name?
Yeah, purposely.
Was it not her that went, or was it him?
They both went, I think.
Oh, they went together.
They also went to the Derby.
And they also went to Wrigley Field last week.
How come their life's so good?
They posed in the Chicago, the Cubs City Series powder blue expo ripoffs.
Which ones do you like? Which ones do you dislike more? Which City Connects do you dislike more, David?
I like the City Connects when they were the classic black White Sox jerseys. Oh,
but
I like those.
The red ones or the Cub ones? About both teams.
Yeah, well, I don't like either one of them. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie to
you. Fair.
I don't like either one of them.
You don't like either.
If I had to pick one to wear, if I had to wear such a thing, I would wear the red one. I would wear the socks. Because I think that probably...
On CHSN?
I would wear... Exactly.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah. It'd be more conducive to programming if I were wearing a Sox City jersey. Although that, strangely enough, I've not been gifted one.
Mitch is making a reservation as we speak to go to St. Elmo's so that when Chalamet goes there before the game, we just happen to be sitting next to him talking about Bob Dylan.
I'd make that road trip. I'd go to Indy.
You'd go to Indy?
I'd go to Indy. You want to see that game? I'd go to a Fever game. I'd go to Indiana Fever game in Indy.
Oh, I'm not going near that hellhole for a Fever game.
You just call Indianapolis a hellhole?
No, I was calling the stadium.
Okay.
Anything with the horrible fans of the Fever.
Easy there, buddy.
Right, so you're not calling St. Elmo's a hellhole either.
I love St. Elmo's. I want to clear out my sinuses. I'd love to go there.
I can't have the shrimp cocktail.
And I want to talk.
I can't have the shrimp.
I want to talk Dylan with Chalamet.
Well, if he's there, we should go. We should crash the party.
What, do you dip your cold shrimp in ranch?
Well, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't have any cold shrimp. I can't have shrimp.
Really? Oh, that's bad.
It's a gout thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Toe problem.
Yeah. It's
wow, bad. That's a pity.
It's a bad thing.
I love shrimp.
I'm all shrimp, one of my favorite food. Yeah. I found out the hard way that I no longer could eat shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. The morning after. Yeah, actually, I was with Dan Pompey. We're out to dinner one night on the road. This is years ago.
Where'd you go?
It was in Minneapolis, I think it was, after a game.
Did you go to that steakhouse?
Bubble Gums.
Yeah. I forget what.
No, what's that place?
I don't remember
Indy?
What steakhouse it was.
Steakhouse.
I don't remember the restaurants. Anyway. We had Mini.
Oh, Mini, that's the place they have the bacon with it. It's Manny.
No,
is it Manny's?
Yes, that's it.
See? Come on.
That's it. Good,
well,
Justin. He knows.
I ordered shrimp cocktail. We both shared shrimp cocktail appetizer and I woke up the next morning, my toe was biked. Couldn't fit my shoe on.
It was
blown up.
That's terrible.
Bad idea. So no more shrimp. But I'll go to St. Elmo's.
I'm all over it. I think we should run into Chalamet and chat it over. I don't have to have the shrimp cocktail. I could limit myself to a steak if that's all we need.
Get all these road trips that sound very ambitious and very good, but I don't think they'll happen.
Really?
The 500 Indianapolis 500 is Sunday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just reminded.
Who's saying, gentlemen, start your engines this year?
Chalamet.
I do not know. Yeah, there was
Chalamet.
It probably would be Chalamet. He's everywhere. It would justify him coming to town. I think that's a good question. I don't know. I used to know that every year. I used to watch the race every year.
Don't you kind of like, though, that guy is a fan? Because he really is living and dying with everything. Or is it too much? You think he's doing it for the attention?
No, I think it's good that he's a fan. I think he's taking advantage of his access. That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I have no problem with that.
I just hope they lose again on Friday. I just would love to see that.
You hope the Pacers lose again?
The Knicks lose again. The Pacers won.
Yeah.
I hope the Knicks.
I know. You think?
I think the discomfort and the agony of Knicks fans is worth the price of admission. I kind of love seeing their hearts broken. No.
Well, it's a tough series now for the Knicks because.
Because they lost a game at
home. Yeah, you lose a game at home. Because Indianapolis is a tough place to play.
Well, they had a game one and they lost it at home. That's why, right? I mean, a game where you're up, what were they up, 17 at one point? I mean, for them, that's like being up 40. I mean, that's crazy that they could lose that kind of lead. But you turned disappointment into dedication. Wasn't that it?
Determination.
Determination, excuse me.
And you do your job.
That's Tibbs. That's his motto.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.